welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio, a bi-weekly audio program featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist Mickey Fulp. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. And joining us from Albuquerque, New Mexico, is the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Fulp. Mickey, how have you been?
I'm well, Rob. NHL playoffs are all set. My team, the St. Louis Blues, finished with the third best record in the West, but got the fourth seed because of the way the divisions are. So we host the Stanley Cup champs, the Los Angeles Kings, but we do have home ice advantage.
Well, I'm pulling for your Blues, and I quite honestly have to admit I do not care about the Toronto Maple Leafs if you're going to ask me about them, okay?
In fact, I was, and they had a surprisingly good season. It looks to me like they're probably the fifth seed in the East.
Tell you the truth, Mickey, I'm a Rangers fan, so let's hope for a Blues-Rangers showdown somewhere
right
along the way.
I forgot, yeah.
Okay, well, we're working our way through the base metals, Mickey. Last time out, you told listeners that we're going to be talking about antimony on the agenda for today's show. Silvery gray metal, I believe you can go all the way back to about 3000 BC, once again, for the earliest evidence of this. Fill us in on the history, the characteristics of antimony. What did you find out?
Number 51 on the periodic table, so it's a heavy element. We consider it a base metal, but it's also would be a specialty metal because there's not a lot of production or demand. The metallic element has been used in compounds used since, as you say, the 3000 BC period, and it was used by the Egyptians for eye makeup. It was first smelted, records of it first smelted in the mid-1500s, at which time it was recognized as an element, silvery white, soft, lustrous, brittle, with two stable isotopes.
Okay, tell us about the type of deposits where antimony is found. I know that it's not a terribly abundant element, is it?
No, it's quite rare. In fact, it's in the crust, it occurs somewhere around 375 parts per billion, so that's less than 0.4 parts per million, so it's quite rare. It occurs in basically two or three types of deposits, as antimony sulfide veins, quartz veins, and that's called stibnite is the mineral. Mineral collectors would be very familiar with stibnite. It can form these very long silvery needles that are quite collectible. It also occurs in complex copper, what's called a sulfosalt, salt, so complex copper minerals, and there's some significant deposits in the world that produce byproduct from smelting of these copper ores.
Okay, with all that in mind, just where are the big producing regions of the world today? And on a global scale, how much production are we talking about? You mentioned that it's really not in wide use.
Yeah, we're talking only about 180,000 tons per year that are mined, and there's a significant secondary production, say maybe about 15-20% of that. The metal is very much dominated by China, something on the order of 85% of the world's production. It's much bigger than other countries, which would include a variety of countries, South Africa, Bolivia, Russia, Tajikistan, Turkey, some production in concentrates from Canada. Once again, we are faced with this. China produces most of the world's metal, essentially has a monopoly on production, but it is cutting back on production basically because of these new policies in China, safety and environmental reasons, and trying to shut down small renegade operations. So from that point of view, there is increasing world demand. There is increasing demand from China. They are continuing to use more domestically, and they're shutting down their small mines and smelters.
Yeah, it's an interesting point you bring up about the action by the Chinese to shut down certain operations. It was the same story last time we talked concerning tin, wasn't it?
Well, yes, it is, and this is what's happening in China. And China dominates the specialty metal arena for the most part. Mm-hmm. So we have no U.S. production. We haven't had none since 2000. We have no stockpiles. We're 87% dependent on imports. There is one primary refinery still operating in Montana, but it's supplied mainly from Mexico. So there is a historic U.S. company that previously had mines in the U.S., now mines and refines and smelts in Mexico and the U.S. The secondary market has been quite important, but it's decreasing. And the recycling in the secondary market came mainly from the antimony content from lead-acid batteries. Well, that has been phased out gradually over the last 20 years. The antimony component. So secondary markets decreasing, demand's increasing, primary markets decreasing. So this has led to some opportunities in antimony space.
Okay. Are we meeting demand right now with the level of production that is taking place, or is it a case of, you know, that gap is narrowing and we're getting to the point where perhaps a few years down the road we could be in a tight spot?
Well, we are meeting demand worldwide right now, but we could be in a tight spot. There is about 13 years of world reserves left. Now, of course, there'll be more discovered, and basically when there's demand, there will be a supply found for it. The metal is used mainly in flame retardants now, about somewhere well over 40% of the world production for flame retardants. It's also used in alloys. We mentioned the lead-acid batteries,
right.
Anti-friction bearings, important for solders, used in bullets and shotgun shot. Also used increasingly in the semiconductor business and a variety of minor issues, including the everlasting antimony pill. And you probably came across this in your... in your research, but it's used as an emetic, so and historically, especially in the 19th and early 20th century, the antimony pill was reused, so and passed down from family to family as an heirloom.
My friend,
is a dirty job.
Yeah, indeed. It's not still used in makeup, is it? It's not a case of, honey, I think you're antimony is running a little bit on the left eye. You know, you may want to go fix it up.
Well, I think it is still used in minor uses, cosmetics.
Okay. One interesting use I don't think you brought up that I came across, I'm not sure if it applies to the type of glass that is used in TVs today, but I'm looking at a statement here that it was used as an agent to remove microscopic bubbles in glass. Did you find that?
Well, it is, and that's used in TV screens.
So. Right.
But these are very minor uses the last few we've talked about. The semiconductor industry use is increasing, but it is increasingly dominated by flame retardants.
Okay, and how do we keep track of the price of antimony, Mickey? And is the price movement being reflective of a metal that is rising in demand today?
Well, it's difficult. It's one of these offtake contract sort of metals. It's not traded on the world stage, so you can get current prices through a few sources on the website, on the World Wide Web, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
In 2012, we had a very stable price, varied plus or minus $6 a pound, but note that is 250% greater than a price from 2007 pre-global economic crisis through 2009, post-global economic crisis.
Right.
So with demand increasing, prices are very robust right now, I would say. There are new projects that I counted in at least 10 countries in the world, but the world needs to find some more antimony. There's no doubt about that.
You know, going back 2 weeks ago and teeing up this interview, you stated that the antimony story may present some opportunities for juniors and investors looking at that area of the mining world.
Well, that's very true, and I do not like most specialty metals for juniors, but antimony is one of the couple of metals that I like. Mm-hmm. And I've been looking for a good antimony, advanced antimony play for a couple of years anyway now. And the reasons are is it forms these small quartz antimony deposits with low capex. Mm-hmm. There are many small producers worldwide, China dominated but increasingly needed in the Western world. The quartz stibnite veins, as an antimony producer, you can build your small standalone smelter. So
right.
In addition, it's a byproduct of major copper smelters, so-called dirty smelters recover antimony, but companies don't get paid for it. In fact, they'll probably get penalized for it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a region in your part of the world, or a little bit east, in the Maritimes of Canada, and that's a historic antimony district, and so that might be a good place to start, would be looking in the Maritimes of Canada.
Okay, nice piece of advice to wrap it up on, Mickey. We're going to be back in 2 weeks, of course, to do it all over again. What have you picked up for us? What are we going to do?
Well, I'll be in New York at that time, and not sure if I'll be working that particular day or vacation. I'm going to take a busman's holiday to New York. We will go through the remainder of the base metals, which would, at this stage, looks like cadmium. It would be next, and mm-hmm. bismuth following. But with the movements of the gold market over the last couple of weeks, it may be time to revisit gold. So let's play that by the ear. I think that I would like to watch the gold market over the next couple of the weeks and see where this correction and rebound ends up. If we don't do gold, we'll do cadmium.
Okay, yeah, never a dull moment in the bullion trade of late, that's for sure. You going to take in a ball game in the Big Apple?
Well, we're certainly planning on taking in a ball game in New York, and then we're talking about maybe taking a jaunt down to Baltimore and see the oldest of the new style ballparks, and that would be Camden Yards, and it gets lots of good presses mm-hmm. as being one of the best ballparks in the United States.
Indeed. Okay, well, great stuff. It sounds like you got a nice trip planned, Mickey. Travel safe, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
All right, thanks a lot, Rob.
That's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. And you can always hear Mickey's latest opinion exclusively on mercenarygeologist.fm and kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.